Hello, this is Auric slash Hug, and this is the Twisted Nether Blogcast.
Step forward. I will see that you are properly welcomed.
And now, it's time again for another exciting, fantastic, astounding, electrifying installment of As the Nether Twists, a Blogcast story.
Fim, it's called the Twisted Nether Blogcast.
Sorry. Welcome to the Twisted Nether Blogcast, Episode 6. We have again arrived bearing a cornucopia of World of Warcraft goodies from across the internether. I am Fimless the Insignificant, and sitting to my virtual right is Brianna of the Golden Voice.
Whatever you say, boy. Just go and get me a glass of water. I'm parched.
As you wish.
Well, while Fim is getting the water, why don't I tell you about what we have this week on Twist Another Blogcast. I am lamenting over the lack of Kodos in my life. We have some very hot topics, a great tip from one of the many Annas, a shared topic, and one chick GM with a party hat and drinks in hand.
This is Albies from Owl's Thicket, and here's the Twisted News.
I'll have you know I can flatten steel with my thighs!
So, in the general news of the week, the PTR is up and running for 243, has been for a little while. One of the biggest things actually just happened is that the Worldwide Invitational opened today, actually, as we're recording. That'll be a couple of days ago to you. And I'm sure you already know this news, but there's some great info that came out about Wrath of the Lich King. And the whole teaser thing that they were dealing with on their website has now been revealed, and Diablo 3 is in the works. So any of you who somehow didn't hear any of that news, now you know. Also, we have learned actually earlier this week about the new World of Warcraft security key that you can now buy an optional extra layer of security for your account. And it's called the Blizzard Authenticator. It's $6.50, and it will be available from the Blizzard store sooner or later. And the idea is that you use your regular username and password, and then after you've linked up this Blizzard Authenticator, it will ask you for an additional code. That code is displayed on the authenticator when you push a button.
Yes, so Blizzard, from me and everyone in my guild, and I'm sure many other gamers, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming up with this and doing this. This is an excellent idea. I am waiting eagerly for it to appear in the Blizzard store so I can buy two.
I'll be buying one.
This is Lorna from 35 Yards Out. You are listening to the Twisted Nether Blogcast. Don't forget to check out the wiki at wiki.twistednether.net.
Hey everyone, I'm Anna from TooManyAnnas.com, and here's this week's blogger tip. This week we're going to tackle that blog roll over on the sidebar of your blog. You know what I mean, that huge list of links that's gotten to where it's nearly as long as your post page. How do you manage such a long blog roll, and how are your readers supposed to know what will be interesting to them? Well, there's a few ways to use WordPress plugins to show a random selection of links, but I don't think that these are the best way to do this, unless your blog has a very wide focus. They don't show links that are tailored to your readers, they just pick randomly from the list. You need to remember that your feed reader is for your reading. Your blog roll is for your readers. The sites that you link in your blog roll should be things that you think your readers will like or will get information from. I write a blog about resto shamans with a smattering of priests, hunters, paladins, and random silliness. So my blog roll focuses on other shaman bloggers, with a section set aside for good general knowledge blogs that I think my readers will like. I subscribe to well over 100 blogs in my reader, and a good number of these are excellent Warcraft blogs. But my blog roll only has around 20 or 25 total blogs in it at a given time. That way, my readers are not overwhelmed with links, and I know that all the content they can access from my site is of really good quality. Until next week, this is Anna from TooManyAnnas.com, and this has been your blogger tip of the week.
Hey, this is Demilius from A View From Behind, and this is your Hot Pockets from the Internether. Did I say Hot Pockets? I meant Hot Topics. Hot Topics from the Internether.
I like my ale like I like my men. Dark and rich.
All right, this week we have a few hot topics from the Nether. And if you were on the PTRs earlier this week or you were checking out the PTR news, you may have noticed that Brewfest was up for a short period of time on the PTR. And last year they had, this is coming from Warcraft mounts, but last year they had the RAM that the Alliance and the Horde were able to acquire using, you know, tokens from the Brewfest. And they're having a Kodo mount this year in the Brewfest, and there's a little bit of controversy going on because, and I'm upset about this, because the Kodo and the RAM are now going to be faction specific. That means that the RAM is only for the Alliance players and the Kodo will only be accessible to the Horde players. And I am sad because I want a Kodo.
I'm sad for you too.
You're not sad for me. But the people at the Warcraft mounts, they're sad for me because they're sad also.
I'm sad for you.
It's okay. You can patronize me. It's fine. So, well, I don't think it's fair. I mean, last year everybody was able to get the RAM. I mean, and I love my RAM and everything, but I can get a RAM pretty damn easily, so I don't need to, you know.
I think we should all get a Kodo.
Kodos is pretty awesome. I would want a Kodo.
Gnome riding around in a Kodo. That would be cool.
I want a Kodo. Okay, anyway.
Roll a Horde.
No, I can't do that. It's not going to happen.
It did happen.
Yeah, but, you know. Okay.
Don't tell anybody.
It's not good. That poor sucker's going to stay at 15 for his entire existence.
15?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about other things that are cool. Mania from Petopia, if you're a hunter, you definitely know that site. And also from Mania Arcania, wrote up a post about a certain map that the creator of L's Extreme Angling created, Tim Algego. He created this great relationship map using the WoW sites, and it's on a map of an actual, you know, world map. And the great thing about it is it's clickable. You can actually get this map and it will activate, most of the links work, and you can click on it and it'll take you to these sites. But it's set up in a way that there's an actual relationship to all these sites. So the sites that are very Blizzard friendly, that they follow the terms of service and the EULA, are on the east side. Oh no, I'm sorry, on the west side. And the east tends to be the naughty ones, the ones that break the service agreements. You'll find the hackers and the pirates and all that. But it's very creative, and the names on this map are awesome. So I would suggest you guys check it out.
Where are we?
We're not there.
We don't have an island? No,
we don't have an island. But Mania has a little island.
We're in Florida. They should put us in Florida.
Well, there's no Florida on the map, Finn.
Oh,
it's a fantasy map.
Florida.
You know, like Fantasy Island. You know, it doesn't really exist.
Oh, yeah. I want a Florida.
There's no Florida.
Oh, I'll draw it in. It's okay.
You put us on there, even if
I'm putting us on the map. I'm putting us on the map, man. That's okay. We're new.
Jeez.
We don't get on the map yet.
No, we haven't been around long enough to
conquer
get on the map.
Some new territories before we can get on the map.
Yeah, but Mania is on the map, so I'm very happy about that.
Ah, well, yes, I agree. So anyway, moving on from manic maps to creepy crawlers. No, not spiders, people. You know, many times you've had issues where, yeah, a girl, or, you know, a guy figures out you're a girl on the World of Warcraft or on the net in general. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but hey, why not? I'm one of those creepy guys, eh? So Pike from Aspect of the Hair had this post basically detailing the different types of those guys that you have to deal with. Now, obviously, you know, they could be girls too, but it usually doesn't happen that way. So here's the list we got. We got one is the guy who wants to be friends a little too quickly. So did you ever have a guy that wanted to be friends a little too quickly, Bree?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, and I don't think it's, you know, specific to females. I think guys sometimes have come across as people come across too friendly, or they're too needy. activate really quick, and they want to know, like, your life history, and they want to know where you live and where you work, and, you know, how can they get a hold of you, and then
on the moon.
It's a little scary.
My phone number is 555-1212.
But, it's happened very infrequently, obviously. I mean, everything on this list, when we go through it, it's not something that's happened to me a lot, but,
yeah.
But even on, like, regardless of being on the game, you know, online in general, you come across this where sometimes people come across too eager, and it, again, it has a lot to do with the medium. I mean, you're talking about electronic medium, you're talking about, you know, text or voice or whatever. You can't get body language through that, and they can't see if you're actually, like, put off by that tension, mm-hmm. So.
On the interwebs, no one can see you grimace.
No one can see your face as you scrunch up in horror.
So, and what else is on this list? What do we got? The number two is the people who simply give you bad vibes. So it's just people that rub you the wrong way, I guess.
Yeah, about things that are, like, very bizarre. I'm talking about the ones that, like,
personal.
Things are, like, too much TMI. Too quickly, or that they talk about that they need to skin their cat or something, or that they used to you know that serial killers, you know, they talk about the things that they used to do when they were young, right? And they would hurt small animals and everything.
Yep.
So, like, you have somebody start talking about how he used to, you know, kill insects or hurt his dog and stuff, and that gives me a bad vibe. I'm like, oh god, who am I talking to?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, just a couple more. We got the guy who wants cyber, who may or may not have mental issues. We have the guy who wants cyber in an unconventional way.
That has happened to me.
So things they ask you, like strange favors that seem funny, but then no, they're really serious.
Yes. Okay. I had one guy, one time, it's only happened once, and I've been playing the game for a while, but I was in the Shimmering Flats on my Hunter when she was, like, in the 30s, and... Yep,
this wasn't me, so...
No.
anyone out there thinks it wasn't me.
It wasn't Fim, no. But this, I was, you know, in the Shimmering Flats where you're doing the race car thing, right? And this guy is there, and he starts... saying that he wanted to know if I was really a girl, and I'm like, well, yeah, whatever. And then he's like, oh, are you a lesbian? Do you want to do this? And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you know, he's like, take your clothes off from me. Like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? It was not a nice moment.
Nah.
But honestly, I think that was the most... the strangest type of conversation I've had with someone I didn't know in the game. I'm usually pretty antisocial. I don't talk to people that I don't know.
Yeah, I usually don't either. Let's see what else. And I think ultimately we've got the anti-role players, which I guess you see only on the role-playing servers, where basically they'll stand in the middle of your RP event and they'll do dance, nose pick, type random keys into the say box, try to provoke... you know, a reaction from you. So basically you can just ignore them and they won't cause any damage.
Yeah, you know what the anti role player is on the other servers, right? Like a PvP and PvE server. Those are the guys in your guild that when you don't talk to them start saying, "Well, nobody likes me. Nobody wants to talk to me. Nobody wants to help me." You know, like these guys that do all these ridiculous things to get attention, that's what the anti role player is.
Well, in our guild, they just kind of disappear. I think we have like the mafia. Just takes them out. They're gone. Can't even do a who on them anymore. It's just gone. Hey, where'd Joe go? I don't know. He was complaining about no one wanted to help him.
You know what?
I haven't seen him in a week.
Nobody's seen him in a week.
No one's seen him.
We only have this note.
Yeah. It's like a note all in pieces from newspapers and magazines.
Oh, geez. Letters. Oh, that's so funny. Oh. Yeah, what those are.
Got it.
Yeah. Also, this week, this is actually a continuing post from Part-Time Druid, who I told him that he needs to stop writing such great posts because I can't keep putting him on this podcast every time he writes a great post. So we're going to have to tell him to write crappy.
For other people.
That's right. You need, PTD, you need to write crappy from now on. So I can at least space the good ones out so I can, you know,
or just don't post for 2 weeks.
Yeah, there you go. Something like that. So give us some time. Hiatus. To put some more people on here. But he actually had a continuing post about, like, why do we wow and the motivations between that. And he made a comment about how people view the game, people who don't play the game view the game as, like, oh, this is just entertainment. And he made a really good point about how there's entertainment versus hobby and how people associate video games with this entertainment value, not thinking of it as something that it's actually more of a hobby. And he goes to illustrate different reasons why this is, why they call that. They say that, oh, you know, if you read a book or if you do if you do knitting or if you do painting or
croquet and macrame,
yeah, that then you're doing something productive because there's an end product to it. I mean, you actually see, if you're reading, you have a better vocabulary. If you do knitting, you have a sweater at the end of it. If you paint, you know, even if your stuff is nasty at the end and it looks more like a stick figure, at least you have an end product to that. But if you're playing WoW, you don't have a physical representation of what you've done. So there's nothing that seems to come out of that except for the relationships that people can't understand because they're not part of it. You can't really explain to them, yeah, I'm getting X amount of things from it. You know, WoW's taught me a lot of things, and I've had these great relationships in it. But whenever I talk to somebody, like my best friend, what I'm doing, she just looks at me like I've just grown another head from my neck and just refuses to understand it. And often has that, you know, that tight smile when they're trying to, you know, not criticize, but, you know, that one that you're doing right now. That's the one. So his advice, which I don't know if it's going to happen because some people just are too stubborn, is to get them to start playing WoW so that they can understand what we're doing. But I don't think that's going to happen. But we can dream at least that would happen.
Yep.
Yeah, but I really enjoy that dynamic, the discussion of whether it's entertainment or hobby, and I definitely am in the hobby camp. It's a hobby for me.
Yep, definitely.
Yep. So
I think most bloggers probably say that too.
Yes.
Just kind of have it as a both, kind of the it's not only a hobby in itself, but it's also the inspiration for another hobby.
Absolutely, and another hobby as
and weird. Another and another, and so on and so on.
Yeah.
And they told two friends. So one last thing we've got from these pretty hot topics. This one's pretty funny and pretty cool, actually. Boom, who is a person who writes 20totems.com, or wrote, I would say, had a gala going away event. He was quitting. He's the guild leader for Four Horde from Argent Dawn server, I believe. And supposedly well known for RP events and such. And he's deciding to quit the game, him and his eight accounts, I think. This crazy number of accounts, 5, 8, whatever, same thing. They they had so many people show up at Stormwind. He was Horde, so he was trying to get into Stormwind and kind of go out in style. So many people from both sides showing up. That they actually crashed the server.
Yeah.
So that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, and the great thing is that if you go to the site, he has screenshots of the whole thing, of the whole event. You know, they got captured and they take them to Stormwind and all this elaborate. It was incredibly elaborate. And on top of that, the guy was a multi-boxer. He had 5 accounts and played 5 shamans at the same time. That's why it's called 20 Totems. The guy has a lot, if you're a multi-boxer, that has a lot of info on it. But he quit WoW, and that was his farewell, was doing his staging his death. And it's just fantastic to read that with the screenshots, because they're really, really good.
Yep. Yeah. Very cool.
And now a word from Gaylor Truby of Need More Rage.
This is Phalia from Resto for Life, a proud member of the Blog Azeroth community. This week's Blog Azeroth shared topic is brought to you by Jaeger Bombs of Hoof and Heels and is entitled Raid Night Vent Comments. Like that time I swore like a sailor for a good 10 seconds after dying to Leotheris, before being told that my mic was still open. Share your funny voice chat anecdotes, accidental or otherwise. Find out more at blogazeroth.com.
This is Charcoat from Survival Hunters Anonymous, presenting this week's Twisted Blog.
Behold, yet another terrifying creature of incomprehensible power!
This week, our blogger of the week is Azara from Chick GM. Hey there, Oz.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Oz.
So, welcome. I guess we'll jump right in. And the first question we have for you, which is kind of the same question we ask everybody, is when did you start writing your blog?
Well, I was checking it out actually to do some research on this, and my first entry was back in February, but at the end of February. But when I was doing that, it was really just for me, and I didn't really start thinking about it as like a blog until the end of April, where I started getting comments from people I didn't know and had like this holy crap, people are reading what I'm writing thing. And then I'm working with a publisher about this book that I'm working with, and I haven't really signed with him. He's just sort of being like a mentor for me right now. Mm-hmm. But he encouraged me to advertise the blog because he thought people might find it interesting and they might be more interested in a book I would have to sell if I had sort of like a authority built up or, you know, a presence already. Yeah.
So, can I ask what the focus of the book is?
Well, clearly, it's online leadership, and it's actually talking about, it's not really WoW specific, but it's talking about the skills that over, I've been leading video games for about 6 years, and I've been playing them for about 10. And over that time, I've built up skills that are not just applicable in WoW or EQ or the other games I played, but applicable in real life and even in the business environment. And there's not a lot of material out there, published material out there, and I was hoping to kind of document some of that so that a lot of people who kind of just fall into these leadership roles would have a resource that I never had.
Oh, excellent. I'm looking forward to that. I will be buying a copy of that book when it comes out.
Oh, I'll send you one.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
About halfway through, real life tends to distract me some way sometimes, but...
So talking about the leadership roles that you're referencing for your book, what are some of the three important things that if somebody who fresh off the farm got handed a guild and said, here, this is yours to run, what are the three things you would tell that person to try and help guide them so that they don't fall flat on their face?
First, I have to say, I'm very glad you sent me these questions in advance, because I would have trouble picking three just off the top of my head. But I did sit down and think about it, and these are the three that I managed to narrow it down to. The very first thing that you need to learn and a skill you need to develop is communication. If you want to lead people, you need to be able to clearly express your expectations of them. And you have to understand what they need from you. And third, you have to inspire confidence in the people you're leading. They have to know that you get them and that you are an articulate person that you can carry them through the different difficulties you're going to face. And so the very first thing I would think about always is your communication and learning to hear better and express yourself better, which I think I'm doing poorly right now, but
you're doing great.
Great.
The second one I would think about is delegation. I am not good at all of the things that you need to be good at for a guild to function. I am terrible at DPS. I have tried. I don't know about spell haste versus crit. I don't know how to set up a kick rotation. But I have these two guys who know everything there is to know about DPS. And I trust these guys to figure out what needs to be done. And if I really need to understand what needs to be done, I trust them to communicate with me so that I understand. But being able to trust someone who has strengths that you don't and get things done that you couldn't necessarily get done on your own is vital, because you just can't be good at everything. Yep. And then the last one is, it's not all about you. And I have a quote from my favorite author, which is, "Democracy is based on the assumption that a million men are wiser than one man. How is that again? I missed something. Autocracy, which I'm sure I just butchered that word, is based on the assumption that one man is wiser than a million. Let's play that over again. Who decides?" And that's Robert Heinlein, who's an author that I just love. But the point he's making is that it's not... You can't be wiser than the accumulation of the other people's experience. But that being said, you have experience of your own. Somebody needs to pull those things together. And so, I have to read my notes real quick. I may steer the ship, and I am very vocal about the strengths that a guild needs. But that's not just my ship. And in order for my guild to get anywhere, I need to... know and be very much in touch with their needs and desires, because they're the people there busting their, you know, busting their tushies in our raids and working outside of our raids to make this guild function. And it's not just my ship, and I can't just do whatever I want to do. I'm accountable to those people. So it all goes back to that same first point I made of communication, where you can't just go off in your own little world. You have to remain accessible and accountable to the people that you lead. So there's my spiel.
Woohoo! That's a very good spiel. I like it. Yeah.
Great. So your guild turns one this week, right? So what events have you planned to celebrate?
Well, we have a couple. And the one I think that I actually blogged about is that my guildmates got together and surprised the bejesus out of me by a bunch of them that live close home, and one that traveled 9 hours surprised me at my favorite restaurant. And I don't know how those mischievous imps managed to keep this secret from me, but they did a month's worth of planning, and so clearly I'm losing my touch. But that was the big surprise. We are also, I'm working with a very talented guildmate who has previously been an art design editor for AOL and works on many things. Very, very talented guy. We're making t-shirts that we wanted to have up already, but we kind of got a little delayed for the guildmates to purchase from Cafe Press. And then we have Operation Shock Monkey that I can't tell you about because it's planned for July 4th. But I promise you there will be screenshots and a very hilarious recount after probably on the 5th.
Oh my goodness.
Very cool. Very cool. You know, actually, my guild turns one this weekend also, so it's very interesting.
What are you guys doing?
We actually, you know what? We had a, just tonight, we had a find the gnome in Stormwind, and one of, I took screenshots because, you know, Chris, the guy that writes on my blog, a friend of mine that writes on the blog, and he's, you know, one of our officers. He did this great rhyme thing with this gnome and with these macros saying, "I'm a weed lost girl," was the name of the character, right? And he started writing these little like rhymes of what to bring her, where to find her and stuff. And he had us running all over Stormwind looking for like flowers and all this stuff. And it was a lot of fun. And next tomorrow we're doing the naked VC run. And there's a gala on Sunday, and maybe Monday, which is technically the official day. We might do a tribute to Old WoW by visiting Onyxia and trying to do that.
That's going
to
be lots of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, but it, you know, like the idea of that your guild turns one and ours does too. And it's amazing to see that the progression, the changes, the evolution, I would say, of a guild from when it first starts and the people in it to now. So going into that, did you start your current guild, or did you become the guild leader by another means? Were you given the guild? Did you inherit it?
Well, I actually did start this guild, and I swore that I never would, because I've inherited it, the GM position, a couple of times in the past. But I have these two amazing friends. They're both amazing guys who happen to be very close, actually, physically, too, in location, that we've played together for about 2.5 years. And when our old guild fell apart that we were raiding with, we decided that we were tired of looking for the kind of guild we wanted, and we didn't think necessarily that it would exist, so we just decided to heck with it. We'd just make it. And they were actually both helping me move, so we just stopped moving and sat down with my laptop and started writing a guild charter. So even though I swore I'd never do it, I just felt like there was an opportunity to kind of have the kind of guild I wanted to be in that I didn't really think existed, so...
That's cool. And going back real quick to the fact that they surprised you and you met them in person, I think from what I read in your post, some of these people you had never met before in person. So how was that experience, meeting them face-to-face for the first time and putting a physical form to these voices and people and characters you've been playing with for a year?
To be honest, I had known, I think, one of them. Two of them beforehand that I'd actually known, and actually both of those guys were real-life friends before they were ever guildmates. But the rest of them were all brand new to me, and it was a little weird at first. Like, I walked in, and there were a bunch of strangers sitting at the table, and I was like, who are these people? And then I started to recognize their pictures from our real-life screenshots, or I guess they're not screenshots in real life, but...
They're called pictures.
Yeah. And it was, it was a little weird, like, really? Like, I was sitting here looking at these people I thought were strangers, and then, like, we started talking, and the ice broke, and you just realized that these were people that, you know, one of them, I helped him with his resume, and I helped him find a job, and, you know, one of them... I was friends with him when he decided that he was going to up and move across the country to go live with this girl he met. And you start to realize that these are real people. And I've always said that, you know, my guild's always been focused on the realness of our people. But it's just this entirely different thing when you're face to face with these people that you realize that physically you're very far apart, but emotionally and what you've been through and the things that you've experienced together, really, these are closer friends than some of the friends I had in college or real-life friends I've known my whole life.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. We have somebody coming down on the 6th that I've never met, and I'm eager to see that happen.
Yeah, I was excited. It turns out one of the guys, that the one that actually moved across the country to be with this woman he met on the internet... not through WoW, actually. She doesn't play. It turns out he lives 8 minutes away from me, so we're probably going to have him over frequently now.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
It is pretty cool.
So more questions about the guild. Have you guys always been progression-focused, or was there other focuses to begin with?
When we started the guild, people who came under asked, what is our goal in terms of progression? And the answer I told them then is, if we come to content and you guys are performing to the best of your ability, then I'm happy. If we're wiping on stuff that we are too skilled or too geared to wipe on, I'm unhappy. And throughout the time that we've evolved and changed, and I mean, we've always balanced between this real life, you know, WoW is part of a balanced set of priorities in your life, and this desire for progression and how we interact with people. And that balance has shifted from time to time. But that doctrine has always held true for me. And if we're wiping on Kill Jaden or we're wiping on Prince, I don't care. I come with the very best that I can bring to the table every night. And I expect that from the people who play with me. And that's the closest thing I could think of to really the progression focus of our guild. So... And I'm the same way on my alts, too. Like, I have a little baby druid, and when she goes on Prince, she's prepared. She's, you know, she knows the fight. She's able to make the most of the gear she has. And if I wipe on Prince with her, I can sometimes be just as upset as if we wiped on Brutalist at 2% last night.
Oh, brutal.
No pun intended.
Whatever. That just hurts. Every time I hear about, you know, I can't even tell you the 1%. Boss deaths.
Well, we haven't killed him yet either. Like, we're this close, and just a little bit would have eked us over, but...
Well, we got the lurker down 1% tonight.
You got him down
1%? 8%? 1%.
Yeah, he was at 99% when we died.
Not quite as painful as 2%.
So it's kind of the other... Not as painful as that 2% or 1%.
Well, maybe in some ways more painful.
It was pretty painful, though. I mean, there's... You know, we're like, okay, well, we only had 18 people. So, I mean, that's pretty good for an 18 out of 25. So we lasted through like one dive and then we died. That was pretty much it. Yeah. But it was sorry, fun. Anna. Hey, we got through all the trash with 18 people, so all the way up to him. So that wasn't bad. And we're all T4
hey, that's an accomplishment,
maximum.
Honestly, yeah, the trash is sometimes more difficult than the boss
yeah.
in that zone.
Yeah. And we're not no farther than T4 geared, so and some were not even T4 geared.
Now, a quick question, you're talking about one of the things that you mentioned was delegation and communication. So what do you use as a guild to try and keep those avenues open? Because, I don't know, do you call each other? Do you guys use emails? Do you force everybody to go on the forums? What is your main form of communication between your officers and your, I'm not sure what you call them in your guild, but like the main people that you delegate to and keeping your guild informed of what's going on?
You know, it's actually interesting that you asked that because I'm wrapping up I think I have one more post in my series on recruitment, and the next thing I was going to tackle was communication. And honestly, we don't really use email. I do have a phone list that is an opt-in thing. If you're a raider in my guild, and most of my officers have opted into this, and you give me your phone number, then I can call you when things that matter to you are going to happen. Or, for example, we give people credit for being there, and some of them have asked, and occasionally we'll give them credit if I can reach them by phone and they can get back to their computer by 5 minutes. So, but other than our guild has very active forums, and I don't think we really force people there. I think they just enjoy it. One of the things we do is we have my forums. We have things for class theory crafting and raid strategies, but we also have things like raid recipes, and it's just recipes we've shared with each other that can be cooked in 30 minutes or less. We have pictures, so I think that like even my non-raiders enjoy that environment, and it makes communication easier. We use the guild message of the day. We officers have regular meetings, but and then other little things too. In a post I made called I think it was maintaining the balance or balancing the spectrum, I make a point to send maybe two or three of my raiders just a whisper that says hello during the raid, just to kind of give them an opportunity to speak to me that they didn't have to create. Even if all they say is hi back, generally if something's on their mind, starting communication with them, even something as simple as hi, allows them to feel like they're not taking your time or kind of working up the courage to interact with you. So, just little things.
Cool. Now, when your forums started, how did you get people to come to them? Because I know that Fim and I have been having issues with our guilds coming to our forums. Our forums are wastelands. Nobody bothers. So, how did you get people to start coming to your forums?
My raid leader is just this awesome guy, and he goes out and has just searches the interwebs and finds the most ridiculous things. Like, he posted an article about a guy who was dressed up like a schoolgirl and was chased by the police and decided the best thing to do was enter a school campus and try to fit in with the girls on the campus. And we have things like there's the largest thread on our forums is a thread of lolcats that we just post back and forth to each other that's titled @Azora. For whatever reason. And I think that just that fun factor is what brings people there. I mean, certainly we do have serious things that we discuss, but we don't force it either. If you're not interested in being there, that's fine, but the communication, we've always made people aware that when we change a guild policy, when we want feedback about something, that all happens on our forums, and you don't have to be active in that, but you really give up your voice in the changing and the way the guild evolves if you're not. And I think that, more than anything else, is really what draws people to our forums. That, and like I said, it's just fun. We just enjoy each other.
So, two questions about organizing your raids and stuff. Number one, what do you guys use to organize your raids, like in signups and stuff like that? And two, do you guys have a DKP system?
We don't organize with signups, given that we're a progression-oriented guild. we have expectations of our members. So the idea is you need to maintain 75% attendance to be in my guild. And that's certainly, I mean, not like on a weekly basis. It's over a course of time. So if you need to go out of town or you're sick or anything like that, we understand those things. But an average of your attendance needs to be 75%. So the idea is if you won't be there, you need to let us know. And so you actually sign up to not be there rather than sign up to be there. Otherwise, we expect you to be there.
Okay.
So that makes it a little bit easier. And I think I've forgotten your other question.
The DKP.
We do. And there was a huge debate for us about this, whether or not we wanted to use Loot Council or a DKP system. But we went with DKP because we wanted to set people's expectations. I think that some drama comes out of Loot Councils, and I've heard it both ways. But I think the drama that comes out of Loot Councils is more that people always feel like they deserve something that's on the floor. They always see what they contribute more than they see what anyone else contributes by nature of always being there and always seeing their contributions. And so by giving people an expectation and a very well thought out, like you have to know like calculus to figure out our loot system, but putting in the time and effort to maintain that in advance really helps us. And when we sat down and thought about it, we thought about what would we use as a deciding factor in a loot council. And we do retain the right to override those decisions, but we rarely, very rarely need to. And people have different arguments, and I certainly am not saying our way is the only way to do it, but it worked for us.
Do you, who runs that? Do you have somebody else taking care of the DKP, or do you do it?
Oh, we have somebody else. I have an admin officer, is what we call him. And he's actually one of those ones who still needs a little bit of time to master his communication style. But he's a very intelligent person, and he's got this incredible attention to detail. And in that spirit of not having to master everything, I found someone who is much more detail-oriented than I am to maintain that for us, and it makes my life much easier.
So getting off the topic of guilds, although I know it's probably one of your favorite topics to talk about.
Oh, it certainly is.
We're wondering, kind of different question, with Wrath of the Lich King coming out, hopefully shortly. I don't know what shortly means. What are you most excited about regarding that? And have you started to make plans? Actually, kind of is part of the guild, as a guild for that expansion.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I can answer that question outside of the perspective of the guild. just because so much of my gameplay is tied into that now. But I think I'm excited most about just the new challenges and the new content. And also the new challenges that brings me as a guild leader. Some of my raiders have told me that they're going to use Wrath of the Lich King as kind of a graceful point to make less of a commitment to WoW as their lifestyles are changing. And some of them want to try out a new class or a new raiding role, like half of them want to be Death Knights. So I'm looking forward to the challenge of trying to accommodate that and still maintain a balanced raiding force. Mm-hmm. And kind of tied into that, I hesitate to make firm guild plans based on things that are still in alpha. Like I tell all my people who want to be Death Knights, you know, what do you know about being a Death Knight other than it's supposed to do damage and tank, which warriors and druids and paladins can all do too.
Yeah.
So I don't make real firm plans. Like I know a lot of guild leaders are going over the debate as to whether they want to do 10-man or 25-man progression or what setup they want, but I'm really sort of holding off to see what makes it out of alpha and into beta, because I think that when you lead an organization like a guild, you can't make decisions that aren't fully, excuse me, I'm losing my voice, that aren't fully developed or thought through. And it's too much energy and effort to waste on something that isn't set in stone yet or isn't even set in jello.
Makes sense.
So the real plans I've been focusing on for that is polling my raiders to see which one of them are looking to make less of a commitment, which one of them want to try new classes, and helping them get leveled and training and experience with the new role they want to try, so that if we can accommodate them, they already have everything they need to excel at that role.
All right, and now we're going to get a little bit personal about Zara.
Oh, no.
And not so much about the guild. Because we've talked about the guild, but we haven't really talked about you. Let's talk about you. Alright, there's a couple of things. I'm going to do it like a Maticus thing. I'm going to throw them out real quick. Alright,
okay.
First, why a priest? Have you played a priest before? And what has been... You were talking about your gaming experience earlier on in the interview that you've been gaming for about 10 years. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I picked a priest because, and I swear it still says this on the class page, Blizzard bills them as the masters of healing and preservation, restoring their wounded allies, shielding them in battle, and even resurrecting their fallen comrades. There is no other class that is worded that strongly about healing. The other classes that heal talk about their versatility more. and I have played for about 10 years, and I have been a healer for the primary character in all of those. And I find it compelling about being someone that my group or raid counts on to keep them alive. And I have played DPS classes, but it's not as engaging. Like, with healing, there's no zoning out and watching the television and pressing your 2 button. You have to be present and alert and focused, and that really is what thrills me about the game and keeps me involved rather than getting bored and, you know.
So you obviously didn't read my post I did today.
No, I don't think I had a chance yet.
I slept walked through the first half of Kara last night. I slept healed.
Well, you can still do that, I think, when you outgear an instance. Like, I talk about that being thrilling, but the hardest time you'll ever have healing is the first time. Because from there, your gear gets better, your tank's gear gets better, your DPS's gear gets better. And when you outgear an instance, that need to be so alert and focused does pass away some. But there's always new stuff to conquer.
Of course.
This is true.
And new odd guild mates who don't know what they're doing and move in the fire or something.
So what was the first game? I want to know this. I really do. What was the first game that like hooked you on gaming and hooked you on the healing class?
I guess it would be Diablo 2. There wasn't as much healing, but there was that support role. And that was the first online game I played that really hooked me on being online and being a healer. I don't think I got quite as attached or identified with it so much until I was a cleric in EQ, and that just, that was it. At that point, I was sold.
It's all over. At that point,
complete
like,
heal rotations
healers for me
and,
for
like,
life.
Praying
Excuse
that
me.
It lands in time. Epic feats of raid coordination, because back then your raids were like 100 people big.
So are you looking at Warhammer? I was looking at Warhammer, like, just to get the like, feel for, like, the classes, because I have a guildie who's, like, keeps bothering me and sending me things about it. And, I don't know if I'm really, like, I don't know if I'm spoiled, because WoW was my first MMO, and I'm one track that I think things would look like that, but, you know, they have, like, a rune priest and some other type of priest, and I'm like, I don't know. Oh, a warrior priest. I was like, it's a little bizarre. I don't know. Doesn't seem to appeal.
Well, you know, honestly, the idea of a warrior priest is an old one. I mean, even in EQ with your alternate levels, you could certainly be more melee heavy. I think it was Guild Wars. I'm going to sound like an idiot because I don't have notes about this, but I think Guild Wars, the healing class was a monk and they focused on hand-to-hand combat in addition to healing. And it's not an old concept, and it was actually a little weird for me when I got used to WoW that I really had very little offensive capabilities, and certainly nothing hand-to-hand or right there face-to-face with the boss. So But I haven't taken a look at the other games right now. I feel like I've made a commitment to my teammates, and as long as that commitment is something that is mutual, where they've made a commitment back to me, I feel like it's my responsibility to stay focused on them and their needs and a single game. I think it would be hard to manage both.
No, I'm not talking about you moving over there. I'm just talking about, like, looking at the website.
Oh, I don't have time. Between the blog and real life and, you know, somewhere I have to get up and earn money.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's always a responsibility to, as a gamer, to be aware of different trends, because as those things are successful, they will come back and impact the game you're playing. But mm-hmm. I have not had a chance here lately. Maybe once we've conquered Sunwell, I'll have more of a chance to sit back and read these things.
Okay, I'll leave you alone about it. I won't bother you about it. So we'll move on from that.
Okay. Well, I've run out of notes. I hope you don't have too many more questions.
Because you're no longer prepared?
Yeah, now
because you
need
don't
to
have... Some... Everything's on the fly now. I don't know. Can you handle it?
I don't know.
I think there's 4.4 more questions.
So, yeah. So, on that lovely note, we will not traumatize you anymore for not having any more prepared notes. So... We will tell you that I think the question time is over.
Sweet.
And you can add anything you like to this conversation.
If there's anything you want to tell our listeners, tell your listeners for this show.
Tell your guild.
Tell your fans.
That you know something that they did and they've been trying to hide it from you.
I still can't believe they managed that. Like, I really think I'm losing my touch, because normally, like, I could tell when someone's had a fight with their spouse, but somehow these guys got it past me. I don't understand. I have to say something nice about Matt and Wynn both, because Matt took me under his wing almost as soon as I started to realize people were reading what I wrote. And he's just been so giving of his time and so encouraging with the things that he's learned, that I do have to say that Matt and Wynn both are my world away from being a GM and just an incredible sounding board.
Is it time?
I think
so. Are you guys
so.
Done with me?
I think it's time.
We can let you go.
Well, thank you guys very much for having me on.
It was a pleasure having you. I'm so happy that you were able to join us, and you have a good night.
What is this? A lowly gnome? I will do better, oh great one.
So by the time this episode comes out, our contest, the commercial contest we were running, will be officially over. I want to thank you to everyone who sent in a submission. Now, Bree and I have the difficult task of trying to pick a winner. We got quite a few submissions, and they all sound pretty good. And next week, we will announce our winner and runner-ups.
Don't try and minimize it. They're all pretty damn awesome, and we're going to have a really hard time figuring out who's going to be the winner.
You are all wieners. I guarantee.
To everybody who submitted, you had us rolling on the floor. At least me. You had me rolling on the floor.
And we will probably come up with another contest in another couple weeks. And this time we may be giving away a loot card from the World of Warcraft trading card game. But we'll have to see, because I don't have one yet. Just an idea.
Just throwing it out there, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure I can get one. But okay. It won't be a Spectral Tiger, I'm sorry. If I get one of those, I'm selling it. Pay for all the other cards I bought.
Hi. Am unleashed.
So that's another wrap, another episode done. Hopefully you liked our new guest spot there with the blog Azeroth shared topic from Faye, and our great interview with Azora from Chick GM. If you have a question, tip, blog, or post you think we should check out, you should let us know. If you use our call-in hotline, we might even play your question on the air. If we can get a whole bunch of those, maybe we'll have another new segment. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
And to contact us, you can go to our website, which is www.twistednether.net. And we also have email, which is Fimlys, F-I-M-L-Y-S, at TwistedNether.net, and Bree, B-R-E, at TwistedNether.net. Voicemail, which is where that's the call-in hotline thing I was talking about a second ago. It's 206-203-4546. And go ahead and leave a voicemail there, and we'll maybe play it on the next show and answer a question if it's a question, or just comment about whatever you had to comment about.
Yep, and if you don't want to do that, you can also write up a post in our forums that is located in Blogs at Atheros. We'll put the link. There's a link on the sidebar, and we'll put a link again in the show notes. And we want to also extend a huge thank you to everybody who's been helping us build and add information to the Twisted Nether Wiki. A special thank you to Lorinar, iSheepThings, Kestrel, Azara, Faye, and Anna for all your hard work. The site's looking amazing and is quickly becoming a one-stop shop. So go ahead and have a look. If you find your blog or one of your favorites is not there, then email wiki, W-I-K-I, at twistednether.net with the subject T&B Wiki, and one of our wikibrarians.
Perfect.
Oh, jeez.
That's perfect.
We'll update, add, etc. as soon as we can get to it.
So also, if you listen to us via iTunes, go ahead and leave us a comment there. We'd really appreciate it. I'd love to get a bunch of comments on there. No, you don't have to leave us 5 stars, but you know, you may be some kind of bribe I could think of to get you to leave 5 stars. Just don't tell anybody. Okay, shh, it's our secret.
And also watch out next week as we have the orc himself, Ratshag, from Need More Rage. And we'll try and speak to him while he's having his little love fest. It was his birthday this weekend, so I'm sure he's going to be celebrating in style. And then I guess we'll see you guys all next week.
Yep, see you next week.
Thanks for coming.
Hi, this is Sia from Bananashoulders.com, and thank you for getting your nethers in a twist with us. I mean, thank you for listening to the Twisted Nether Blogcast.
Haldego? Is that how we pronounce it?
Don't know. Haldego.
So they can't get body language through that. Like what you were doing right now. And and then there's... That's nice. Entertainment.
That was entertainment.
I'm going to...
Lorinar. And stuff. And you're parched, so I need to give you water. Now I'll drink it. Ready? Here's your water. I have returned with your water, madame. We are done. We are done. And we are out.
I